from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And over Serbia.
This is everything I imagined it to be. Obviously, this is my first go-around in the Olympics. Knew we were going to get challenged by a great Serbia team, and to have to beat them three times this summer was going to be tough. I just kind of got lost in the moment of understanding how big this stage is and what's at stake for this team, and it was special. It was the most fun, you know, I've had in a very long time, and to dig deep like we did with this group and get a win, special. So I'm kind of basking in that right now, and obviously know we got another tough challenge, France, on their home court.
And even LeBron knew it was just a matter of time before Steph Curry went crazy.
It was only a matter of time before he had one of these games. We could see it every day. He put too much work in not to have a game like this. We went one any other way, and it was a perfect timing for Steph to come out and do what he did.
All right, you are listening to 95.70 Gabe, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And joining us on the River Islands guest line, the head coach of Team USA, the head coach of your Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, over the pond, across the pond, out there in Paris. Coach, what's happening, man? I don't know. Good afternoon, good morning. What time is it out there?
It's good. Good evening. Good evening. Yeah. 6 o'clock here. Good to hear you guys. And man, what a game! What an incredible competition to be part of. It was just stunning. And now we gotta get over it and get back at it tomorrow.
No, no doubt about that. I mean, I was up off my couch. I know Shasky was up off his couch, and you know, obviously the game was 12 o'clock out here, Pacific Standard Time. So it was a lot of smack talking going on. I see Melo from the court side. He's talking smack. Bogdanovich is talking smack. They're hitting threes. They get up by 17. And the game was so intense. You could feel it through the television screen. I'm sure you could feel it right there on the sideline. How would you compare that intensity, say, to a finals game, a Western Conference finals game, an Eastern Conference finals game? Because you've done both, obviously. You've been in the NBA finals and now here with Team USA. Compare that intensity that you felt yesterday compared to, say, an NBA playoff game.
Well, number one, it's a game seven, obviously. You know, with the format, just, you know, every game's an elimination game when you get to this point. And so it becomes a game seven, but there's an added responsibility when you're playing for your country and representing your flag. And I think there's definitely some pressure that comes with that. But I think it's also what our guys sign up for. I know why I signed up. You know, it's the ultimate competition, and to be a part of it and feel that game. Obviously, we were able to pull it out. But, you know, this is going to go down as one of the all-time great Olympic games. And our guys were just incredible. I mean, under that kind of pressure, to perform the way they did was just amazing.
I mean, the end of that game, and I know this is someone we've gone to war with, you know, with the Warriors, and relative in basketball terms, LeBron James, the enemy of the Bay Area, and to see him and Steph embrace the way they did at the end of that game with Kevin Durant right near them, I felt like I was watching basketball history. And as someone who's been in the game as long as you have, and you have the perspective that you have, I mean, that was one of those seminal, special moments, and to have the United States flag kind of metaphorically draped over the whole thing, it felt iconic, Coach.
It was, and I'm with you. You know, to be able to coach LeBron rather than coach against him is so amazing, and you know, just to see them all together. Performing, but you know, sharing the ball and competing together, fighting the way they had to fight. You know, these are all future Hall of Famers, and it's just so fun to watch them day after day, prepare for this, and be so engaged and also enjoying the process so much. These guys are incredible, and they're obviously used to, you know, trying to beat each other. So I think they take a lot of pleasure in being on the same team for once.
Yeah, those guys scored the last 13 points of the game. They defended their butts off there in the fourth quarter as you guys rallied from a 17-point deficit. We're talking to head coach Steve Kerr here on the River Islands guest line, and obviously the big question, you know, it's coming, Steve. The rotations. Everybody's talking about them. I did notice you said, the heck with the rotations in the fourth quarter. All right, LeBron. All right, KD. Joel Embiid, who's getting a lot of heat. He played great yesterday. And Devin Booker, who's been very selfless. How difficult is it to figure out rotations when you got a litany of stars like you do right now, Coach?
Yeah, it's a great problem to have, you know, to have so much talent. I would never complain about that, obviously, but it makes it difficult on some of the players. You know, Joel sat out a game against South Sudan because we like different matchups. And Jason Tatum has, you know, not played in either Serbia game for the same reason. And it even saying those words out loud, sounds crazy, right? These are first team all NBA guys, but FIBA's very different, and each game is different, and we have to adapt and adjust accordingly. This is not an NBA season where it's, you know, 8 months of managing people. It's a sprint, and we have one more game to go, and the rotation tomorrow will look a little different, and you know, we'll just we'll keep doing what we have to do to win each individual game, and every one of these guys is absolutely capable of carrying the team on a given night. So it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it really is fun to watch. I mean, Joel Embiid's just like, he was going crazy after that dunk, and he was like flexing, and Kevin Durant is screaming, and it means so much to all of these guys. Like, you could clearly see that. Steph's expressing that. But what would a gold medal mean to you, Coach?
Hard to explain. It's a great question, and I don't really know, but I can tell you that I've never been more proud than I am right now, you know, to represent my country, to be American, to be part of the team that everybody's watching at home, and to see the flag and to, you know, sing the anthem before each game. And it's an amazing feeling. It's one that it's really hard to find this anywhere, you know, and that's the beauty of the Olympics is, you know, each person involved, every athlete in every sport has a unique story and I think a love and appreciation for the opportunity that we all have as Americans, to pursue our dreams. And it's pretty cool.
You've been through a lot of battles with Stephen Curry, obviously four championships together right here in the Bay Area with the Golden State Warriors, and he's got a couple MVPs, but to see Steph smiling and the intensity he played with yesterday, and he's had his struggles in pool play in the Olympic Games. We were waiting for this game. To see him have that moment playing in his first Olympics, how cool is that for you? Because you've seen this guy grow up for over a decade, Coach.
Yeah, and you know, LeBron mentioned it in his interview that you guys played that clip just a little while ago. You know, the preparation that Steph puts in every single day, it's just remarkable. And it's one of the best parts of this experience is to get a behind-the-scenes look at, you know, all the other guys. You know, LeBron could have been talking about himself the way he prepares. And, you know, getting to know the whole group and seeing them work, seeing them operate, you get a sense of why they are who they are. And I've always known exactly who Steph is because, you know, just being with him every day. But none of that surprised me last night. His preparation, his focus, his genuine care for, you know, what happens and his teammates and the results. And he's just an incredible, extraordinary human being. And that was a fireworks show last night.
I mean, I can make the argument it was one of the best games he's had since that Game 7 against the Kings a couple years ago. It was just phenomenal. Maybe even more impressive given the stakes and everything that's going on. Coach, let's smile and laugh a little because, I mean, you guys are making us all so proud. But I'm sitting at home and I'm on the internet watching and Draymond is tweeting about lineups and who needs to come in. Is he texting you during the middle of the game?
No. Nor am I looking at his Twitter feed. So we're very comfortable with the decisions we're making. But thank you.
I'm sure Coach Spo is passing you the iPhone, saying, "Hey, here's Draymond the iPhone. He wants to FaceTime you, Coach." No, seriously. No, Coach. The Olympic Games is like I forget. I remember '96 in Atlanta and the Olympic Games as a kid. I'm watching it. I'm like, wow, this is fascinating. Track and field, volleyball, the swimming or whatnot. Have you been able to venture out from your preparation of getting Team USA ready to play the Frances and the Serbians of the world? Have you been able to check out any other events?
Just one. I went to a women's volleyball indoor game, and I'm going to go Sunday to their gold medal match, which I'm really excited about. My daughter played volleyball at Cal and loves the sport. And so I, you know, watched her play throughout junior high, high school. It's a great sport. We have a great team. Really fun to watch. So everything else, you know, I've just been too busy, preparing for the next game and traveling. And we were going up to Lille for the first three games. And we haven't really had a ton of time, but I think most of the players are getting out, you know, occasionally to events and really enjoying it. And I'm really hoping to just, you know, wrap this thing up tomorrow night, you know, win a gold medal and be able to really soak it all in on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping for that one. And that game against Serbia is going to go down as an all-timer. Yeah. The FIBA rules, though, they're a little different than the NBA rules. Is there something that maybe you like about the nuance of the FIBA rules versus NBA that you'd like to see adopted by the NBA?
Yeah, I like being able to stand in the middle of the key defensively and not be called for 3 seconds. I think it's just basketball, you know. It's like, well, I never really understood why if some guy who can't shoot is standing 30 feet away from the rim, well, why we should have to, you know, stand outside the paint. It would be interesting to see what would happen in the NBA if they did adopt, you know, zone defense, allowing all zone defenses. But I do like the FIBA game. It's different. 40 minutes is good, too, rather than 48. It makes for a tighter game. It makes for a more competitive game, I think, in a lot of ways. So I think we can learn a lot from the international game.
Wow, 40 minutes is interesting. I kind of like that, Coach. 10-minute quarters, I can warm up to that, and we'll be able to get to sleep a lot earlier than nights there. getting ready for France, Coach. Big Wimby, and they have Rudy Gobert. How do you attack this team? They're long, and with the FIBA rules, it seems like they have an advantage just with the way they can just stand in the paint, as you just mentioned, Coach. So going up against France, what's impressed you so far about them getting to the gold medal game?
Well, they completely changed their team, you know, a couple games ago by not playing Gobert. They took him out of the lineup. They're playing smaller and faster. They're playing their more athletic players, and their defense has really kicked in here the last couple of games. So we're going to have our hands full. Obviously, they'll be playing on their home floor. Great crowd. But we're excited. What an incredible opportunity.
Behind the scenes, has Steph expressed to you? I mean, he said it out loud so many times, but he looks like he's having the time of his life, and I'm just really happy for him to have this moment that, because of injuries and other circumstances before, he's just never been had the opportunity to play on the Olympic team. It feels like he's really embracing it.
Yeah, he said to me last week, you know, how excited he is to be back in the mix, you know, and obviously last season was tough for all of us, not making the playoffs. And, you know, this is a special feeling to advance to a stage like this and on a, you know, with a competitive nature like Steph's. I mean, this is what he lives for. And so he's so excited to be, as he said, back in the mix, back, you know, back in the championship picture and, you know, trying to win something special. He's absolutely having the time of his life.
Well, we had the time of our lives watching you rally from a 17-year team, of course, rally from a 17-point deficit there and going to the fourth quarter, down 15. That fourth quarter was one for the ages because we enjoyed it, and we can't wait to watch you guys win that goal tomorrow against France at 12:30 Pacific Standard Time. Coach, thanks so much for joining us out in Paris, France. You didn't have to do this.
Thanks,
I know your
coach.
Time is precious. We really appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Anytime.
Get the gold.
Head coach Steve Kerr here on the Morning
Roast,
courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Let's break real quick. We got a break? Okay, we'll break. Recap what Steve Kerr had to say about Team USA. That's all coming up, brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
Wow, shout out Turtle Pie out there. Hey, Turtle Pie with a little rejoin. If you want to send us a rejoin, feel free. People just do it. Just on the I get so many voice memos on IG. Hey, this is so-and-so. Listen to the Morning Roast. Some are good, some are not. But hey,
we're going to effort them. Sneak Bosa, and you're listening to the Morning Roast.
Can we get some Niners to do
95.7 The Game?
You know what? We should make it a field trip to get down to practice. Ask our man Corey Rush, who's the Raymond Ritter of the 49ers, and just say, hey, man, this is Deebo Samuel. Listen to the Morning Roast. Deebo may not want. We get Fred Warner. We get George Kittle. Get Brock Purdy. Will we get Kyle Shanahan? You think Shanahan has ever listened to the roast?
You have Possibly. To understand, it's 95.7 The Game, and I'm Peter King. And to understand what's really this show's about, that was a joke. I was trying to do different voices. No?
Why would you go to Peter King? Why do you hate Peter King so much?
I just think he's such a blowhard.
Wow.
Jesus.
Dude, just like...
Well, you know who should get to do it, who we both love? Pro Football Focus's own, Mike Florio.
You mean...
I said what I said on 95.7 The Game.
Pro Football Talk.
What'd I say? Pro football focus. Yeah, you're right. My bad.
That's
my
Collinsworth.
Bad.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
Hey, Dave was spicy yesterday. He's like, you cannot be real that's happening. When DeVore gave up the 3-run homer.
What do you call it? Hell's Corner?
Shut up.
Hell's Corner at Nationals Park?
Hey, I could feel Dave on that because I was like, there's no way. They're going to blow a 3-run lead after scoring late in that game. You know, credit the Giants for fighting back in that game not once but twice. Harrison, everyone's freaking out. Like, that was clearly not a regular game. It was raining, starting, stopping.
So I'm looking at, like, somebody just sent me a video, and it's Travis Scott.
Uh-huh.
And it's my boy Quavo from Migos.
No.
Michael Rubin, and they are amped. Out there in Paris, France for Team USA. Travis Scott is literally standing on a seat telling everybody to chant Team USA.
Really?
I'm stunned. I'm glad we had Steve Kerr on to bring it back to Team USA and get off of Pete King for a second. It's the third time I heard Pete King this week. The passion that people have for Team USA, I didn't think it exists. You know, I remember just getting ready for the Olympics and it just felt like everybody's like kind of ho-hum, 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 blah, blah, blah. And you could feel it yesterday. When that game was over, the intensity, the pride, the passion, the excitement. I must have been looking at Team USA stuff all damn day yesterday. So, looking at different photos and different videos and hearing the love. We haven't even played Kevin Durant yet, but hearing LeBron, hearing Steph, hearing all these guys, seeing the handshakes, looking at Anthony Edwards dancing on the court with Joel Embiid, and they're sticking it to the French crowd. Oh, man, it was pretty fun. Pretty fun, man. I'm loving this.
No, I am too. And I think it was a win-win for both of us yesterday. Not only did you get the quote-unquote win that USA did not lose, but I also got the win in that it feared the, you know, you got the fear of God in you.
No, but you didn't. They didn't lose.
No, it's a win-win.
Win-win. Well, no, it's not a win-win.
I won.
No, you didn't.
I absolutely
didn't
win the bet. Did.
No, you didn't. Absolutely. No, CBSJ has a loss of game yet.
Absolutely. All I needed is a scare.
They had to lose a whole basketball game.
Right.
For you to win the bet.
It was a win-win.
No, you can't move the goalpost when the bet is already made. See, you're a terrible bettor. You just switched the rules, and it's like, no, you can't switch the rules.
Chess, you're being vetoed on this one. I'm sorry.
You guys have to understand, you were clear-cut favorites, so you had all of the juice.
No, but you said it with your chest. They're going to lose a game. They're going to lose a game. I believe they're going to lose a game.
Like, how scared were you yesterday?
Oh, I texted Thread at the end of the third quarter. Wow, they're going to lose this game.
I know.
I can't believe it.
You know, I read that in the same way I read the Kirk Cousins is back on the table, second quarter Green Bay game.
But if you know me, when I text things out there,
I know you're jinxing it.
Reverse jinx. So then I'm sitting there watching. I said, okay,
I'm going to put
NCAA football on. I'm having a laptop. And
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
I will run the play. Pause. Team USA, let's go. Let's go. I was like fist pumping by myself. And
so your reverse jinx basically saved the game. That's what I'm hearing.
Thank you, Bonte.
I'm not going to take credit for that. I'm going to give all the credit to LeBron guarding Jokic.
Well, it just means that when we win gold on Saturday, you basically saved the bet.
No, I didn't say, they didn't lose a game.
Well, we're not there yet.
They're not going to lose to France.
I don't think so. But
They're not losing to Wee-Wee. I wanted to introduce and greet Steve Kerr with some French, but my French is pretty broken, so I just left it alone. What's merci beaucoup? Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup.
I don't know.
Is that thank you very much?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I was gonna say, hey, Steve Kerr, merci beaucoup, and I would sound like a dummy, you know, but a donkey or whatnot. So anyway, they did not lose a game. You're still going to owe the bet. What is the bet again? Breakfast burritos?
No, he has to wax poetically about Andrew Bagley for 90 seconds.
Oh, yes, that's right. Thank you very much. Oh, that's going to... Oh, that's coming Monday morning.
You got to be kidding me.
You know what? Since you like to shift the goalpost so much and move the goalpost...
Is that really
what I bet? Oh, you know what?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm going to change a little bit of the bet. He tried to change the bet.
It has to be like... It can't be like facetious stuff. It's got to be legit. You have to be...
From the heart.
Yes.
But you know what? We're going to make it a full 2 minutes. And the final 30 seconds... of him waxing poetic for Andrew Bagley, he has to shift and wax poetic about Peter King the 30 seconds.
You don't remember, but on the night show, I had this thing with Elon Musk where I thought he was a fraud, right? Remember that way back when?
Like, you turned out to be pretty right.
I was destroying. Everyone's like, he's a genius. And I'm like, dude, he was born into generational wealth. And it was the whole Cybertruck. I remember the moment it happened when they went live. And he's like, this is bulletproof glass. And someone threw like a rock. And it went right through the truck. I was like, this guy's a fraud. Yeah, what are we doing? The prototype doesn't even work.
You know what, though? They had a Cybertruck out there at Burlingame, the farmer's market at Burlingame.
It looks ridiculous.
But then I was playing with the trunk space. I was like, damn, this car's kind of sick.
Trunk space.
Dude, and I got in the front seat. I was like, man, there's so much room in here.
So you would really drive one?
I wouldn't buy one.
Okay.
I would drive one, though.
Well, okay. If you had the money, you would buy one? I'm totally out on that.
If I had the money.
I think they look horrible.
I'd buy an all-black one with the tinted windows. I would. I think they're kind of cool. They're kind of cool.
Really?
And you don't have to, you know, it's electric, so, you know.
Hey, the cheapest model, $60,000.
Oh, it's just.
Yeah.
Just.
Hey, if I take that $80,000 raise and go to Sacramento, give me a Cybertruck. I can live
for a Cybertruck.
I can live in the River
the
Islands.
The opening video is going to be a drone of Bonte just driving his Cybertruck.
The jokes just right
there. The sunglasses. No, the King Crown on.
I'm watching The Receiver Doc, episode 8 again, just because I'm a sick individual. It's me and LJ, and I noticed that someone in the Debo suite for the NFC Championship game was wearing those red rubber boots.
Oh, yeah. The ones boots. From a couple years ago.
So if I were to put it out, like, you are forced to do one or the other. Bonte pulls up in the Cybertruck or the red rubber boots. You're taking the Cybertruck.
Oh, I'm taking the Cybertruck all day long. Cybertruck
with the Gucci slides.
Yeah, you see that on YouTube? Kyle Kelly. I wouldn't even wear the Gucci slides. I'd wear the Diors. I'd rock the Diors. Oh, man.
Good for you.
What's the goofier look? The red rubber boots or the Cybertruck?
Oh, the red rubber
boots. The clown shoes. Yeah,
the clown shoes are the look.
I don't even know if they're clown. Cool.
They look like video game shoes. Like you look like a video game character from like Nintendo, right?
I do love, though. That Cybertruck is sick. The
really?
Cybertruck is sick.
I think I'm out on it.
In all black, it looks so hard.
Really?
So wow. Miller is saying this.
What's the Ford
this.
Raptor?
Tyler Miller is saying this. Please don't say that, because Tyler Miller on YouTube. Cybertruck is a new Dodge Challenger in the hood.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I'm good off the Cybertruck. I'm going to lay it. Like, I'm good. I'm a Ford man.
You know what that stands for, Ford. Fix or repair daily.
Oh, wow.
Not when you go to Ceramani Ford.
Shout out to Ceramani Ford.
That's the one you have to go to. And I love it.
Yeah, I emceed their
40th. When I fix my Ford, I go there.
I moderated their 40th anniversary at Ceramani Ford. Shout out Kenny Wardell. Shout out Mama K. Sharon Kawaguchi. that's a good little Ford. I've never had a Ford.
what? Out of curiosity, what would you be putting in the trunk of the Cybertruck? Just curious, because why was it so appealing?
Baby wagon. So when you could just roll around in the wagon, you don't have her walk, she gets tired, you put her in the wagon with the groceries.
Uh-huh.
Put a bike back there.
Do you own a bike?
I do own a bike.
Okay.
The stroller. And then just having that room, in case I just don't want to put my sports gear in the house, right? So your cleats, your baseball glove, your basketball, your football, blankets in case you want to go out and have a nice romantic night at the park. Okay. Yeah, you gotta think romantic, baby. If I want to go to Dolores Park and have a movie night with the girls. You know what I'm saying? You got your blankets, you got everything right there with pillows. You got everything. All right, relax, 925. Relax. All right, relax. We're not getting political here. If everything was political, then I wouldn't have a lot of things on. Like, I guarantee you, 925, you probably wear Nike shoes, if you know what I mean. Excluding the mobile tax life.
I just think the Cybertruck looks ugly. All right, that's fine.
It has a weird look.
Well, it looks like
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Simpsons truck.
Yeah, but at night, though, that light hits and all black and you're on the road. It's something about it.
I'm good with my Fords.
Yeah, I'm good with my Dodge Charger. I do love my Dodge Charger. Got 100,000 miles on it now.
Really? You hit 100K?
I've had the car for 9 years.
Yeah, it's a good run.
Yeah, it's good still running like a champ. Still running like a champ. I do. D. Lou, the Rivians too. I like the Rivian. Now, you didn't ask me.
Looks better to me. I like the Rivians better.
I do like the Rivians better.
They're expensive.
They're like 90 G's to start.
Yeah, I do think the Rivian looks a heck of a lot better. I'm with you there.
90,000 for people who don't know what G's are. $90,000. Because we, Big Dog's Bachelor Pad, the guy who, we Airbnb'd the cabin, the guy who owned the cabin. He had a Rivian. He was like, dude, it comes with a speaker. And I was looking inside. I was like, man, this thing is nice. Now, I'm going to make a lot of money. You know, let's get that 80K from Sacramento. And I could be hanging out with Sacramento Stacy and Kitty Caraway and Damian Barling.
You might as well just buy Caltrans at that point.
I'll be up there with Kyle Draper. Out of style, stay away from me. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Madsen, the whole crew. They got it booming up there in Sacramento, man. $90,000 for a car, man, just sounds crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy today.
I don't know how people afford it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't afford it for working radio. Stephen Curry. Here's what Kevin Durant said about Steph Curry's night.
We talked about each game. Somebody have to step up. It might be your night. And he came and had the best night out of anybody the whole tournament. So incredible to watch him knock down shots to keep us afloat. Bron playing extremely hard the whole game. I mean, it was incredible, man. Joel was insane tonight. I just love what everybody did.
And then Kevin Durant said, it's one of the most memorable games he's ever had. This is crazy. He's played in finals games, Western Conference finals games, NCAA tournament games. Listen to Kevin Durant.
I think this game is going to go down as one of the most memorable games for anybody. You see Jokic on that end doing what he can do to will this team to victory. Then you got, you know, MVPs on our team. You also got to get other guys' credit, too, like the Bogeys. And I'm sorry if I'm forgetting number 30's name, but he played a great game for them as well, shooting it. And their whole team played extremely well. It was just high-level basketball that people could enjoy down to the wire. It was great entertainment, but it was also great basketball.
That's real.
Great.
High-level basketball. Basketball played at its highest level. You had to be locked in on every possession, fighting through screens, not going under screens, not leaving three-point shooters wide open, rebounding, offensive rebounds, tip backs. When Bogdanovich hit some crazy shot, I said, oh, boy. Remember they got the offensive rebound? The USA is about to run the tap back. Somebody right there under the basket and get an easy layup. I'm like, man, it just may not be their night.
When I see Kevin Durant play basketball, whether it's in the NBA or on the USA stage, it's me as the Wolverine meme looking into the picture, and it's Kevin Durant. That's me. I love Kevin. I love watching him play. Yep. He's one of my favorite players before he joined the Warriors, one of my favorite players with the Warriors, one of my favorite players post-Warriors. I think he fits on every great team of all time. Like sometimes, like there are times where you watch Steph and you're like, man, this guy doesn't really play well with him, and that guy doesn't play. Everyone plays well with KD. Just by the way he plays, he fits on every team. And I'm just watching him, and I'm just like, he is. I don't know if he's going to go down as a top 10 player ever. He's top 10 talent of all time, and he's going to end up playing 20 years in the league. He probably won't get the championships, like the amount of championships to go into people's top 10. But my God, he is just one of the greatest players of all time. And with him, as I think we get distracted by some of the movement that he's had as a player in terms of where he's played, he's all about basketball.
All about basketball.
The thing I really appreciate about him.
Hakeem Olajuwon, you consider him top 10?
See, he's outside. Like right on that fringe because as other guys come into the league and like he's one of those guys that he deserves his recognition for where he is. And obviously he was an evolutionary player. But when other guys get catapulted into the top 10, he's one of those fringe guys that might get bounced
maybe
and slowly lower and lower and lower. Like
because we look at Bird, he's got the 3 rings. And I don't know if rings had, like, Will Chamberlain has 2 rings.
So, like, okay.
You know, and Will Chamberlain is considered one of the greatest ever.
So, like, Mahomes, has catapulted himself into the, I already think he's top 4 or 5 quarterback of all time. Already.
It's hard not to argue.
I look at someone like Roger Staubach, who I think, if you look at the highlights of Roger Staubach, wow. You're like, wow. And he won, you know?
Yeah.
But no one ever brings up Roger Staubach is one of the great quarterbacks of all time, right? Yep. It kind of gets like knocked down the list. So I put Hakeem in that same kind of like vein. Like every passing year as a Jokic enters top 20 territory, guy like him goes down the pecking order, which sucks.
No, it does suck. It does suck. By the way, I heard India won the breakdancing competition. India wins your breakdancing competition. Was out there breakdancing in India, Bombay? New Delhi?
We should have sent the Jabba Walkies, or what are they called? The Jabba Wookies? What?
New Delhi?
You're right, Jabba Walkies. They won the first ever America's Best Dance Crew.
They're so sick.
MTV, weren't they circa sick? 2007. They were
so
all the masks
sick.
And stuff.
They were
yeah.
sick.
Yeah. I think they're all Filipino guys. Yeah,
yeah, they're so ahead of their time.
Yeah. 925 Gucci Dior, can you afford it? No, I can't afford it. We're just joking, guys. We're joking. Nobody's buying a side of truck. Nobody's buying Gucci's or Dior's. The Dior's were a gift from Anna for Christmas. And I splurged a little on Gucci. I was having like a retail therapy type of day. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll get these Gucci's. I've worn them like 10 times. You know, I'm just well rounded. You know what I'm saying?
As we're kind of like kicking around the final couple, 20 minutes or so of the show this week, and we're mailing it in. Did you see?
You're mailing it in. Don't say we're mailing it in. You're mailing it in.
Well, I've got a ton of topics.
No, brother.
I've got a ton of topics. Let me start here.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, no, don't, dude. Why do you?
What?
I hate when you do that because in the boss man, you know, you guys. I'm like, dude, I'm locked in.
Are you?
I'm locked in. Yes, I am.
Shut up.
You just was about to ask me a question. I was just going to sit back and listen.
Well, did you hear what Farhan said?
No, I did not hear what Farhan said. He talked?
It basically sounded, yeah.
When did he talk?
On a competing station. And he basically said, and it went out there to the ethos, and other people were writing about it.
I see that.
I'll summarize. He basically said that there's really not a defensive spot for Luciano this year. And if you've been watching the at-bats from Luciano, you know, now he's not playing. Yeah. They've got Encarnacion, who they're playing, and obviously Cano, who had his, I think, his third or fourth.
He had a big day yesterday.
He had a big day.
Big day.
I just don't know if Luciano's going to be here past this offseason.
I would have traded him at the deadline. I would have. This is where, look, the Giants are getting by right now against the Nationals and the Reds. September's going to ramp up. Now, I'll spit some, going into the weekend, folks, I think there should be some optimism about the Giants right now. Look, baseball's weird like that, man. There's a journey. 6-month grind, right? Right now, you could say three back in terms of the wild card spot, but I look at the loss column, folks. Look at the loss column. The Mets and Braves have 54 losses. The Giants have 58 losses.
Braves are free falling.
They're 4-6, and they've lost 5 in a row. They got smoked by the Brewers yesterday. Jackson Chirino, 2 home runs yesterday. Wow, this 20-year-old is coming along. New York Mets, 6-4 in their last 10. The Diamondbacks finally lost a game to the Phillies. The Padres continue to roll. They had a 3-1 rally yesterday in the ninth inning against the Pirates. You're only 4 back in a loss column with the Mets. You're 5 back in the loss column of the Diamondbacks. You got the Diamondbacks 6 times. You got the Padres 6 times. You got a hell of a September schedule. You got a shot here. But that's what disappoints me about the deadline. I'm not mad about keeping Blake Snell. I wanted to keep Blake Snell. We had to chant, don't sell Snell. Don't sell Snell. Don't sell Snell. But I really wonder if the Blue Jays were going to move off of... Toronto stinks. They're 9 games under 500. There had to be a way that you could entice Toronto. Now, again, I know nothing. Now, I'm always saying there takes two to tango, so Toronto may not have wanted to trade Vlad Jr. I may be just talking at the side of my neck. But, boy, it would have been nice to have another consistent bat in this lineup moving forward, because you never know if Fitzgerald gets a little fatigued. Ramos is doing his thing. You know, Yaz is hot. Chapman's hot right now. Conforto's hot. You hope he stays hot and healthy because, you know, health has been an issue with him. But, boy, it would have been nice to have another bat. Because you're not going to do nothing with Luciano. So just flip them to get help now for the stretch run.
So I saw a tweet from you, and it was about Mike Yastrzemski. And you're not wrong.
You didn't like it, huh?
Well, no. I
did you feel like the tweet was geared towards you?
It probably was, but that's fine. No. But, like, you're not wrong in your sentiment. Like, Mike Yastrzemski's had a good year. Like, he's had a good year. And I, you know, was doing some digging prior to you even putting that tweet out there. And it's like, you know, the Ramos revelation and where we're at with Ramos, we would have never gotten this opportunity with Ramos because they had Jung Hoo Lee in center field, right? And they've been playing Conforto and some combination of Slater and Yaz prior to Slater being DFA'd in right field. And, like, thank God Jung Hoo Lee got hurt because Ramos took his opportunity and he ran with it, right? And I think most people are like, dude, like, Yaz is fine when he's batting 7th, 8th, or 9th.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking for.
But, you know, when the last 3 years, when you look at where he was batting in the lineup, again, it's not his fault, but he batted leadoff, second, third, fourth, and fifth. That's not what he is.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I look at it this year, and they experimented with it early on in the year, and he had basically about 35 at-bats in the 2-5 hole, okay, this year. And they thank God they ejected from that, and it wasn't looking good.
Yep.
Where has he had the most success? 7-8-9.
Yep.
7-8-9 hole, right? And he's got half as many at-bats that he would normally have, so because he got hurt for a little while, yep, and they were doing some platooning to a degree. So I think that they've utilized him well, and I credit Bob Melvin, and I credit Forhan for upgrading the roster around him so that you have a traditional 2, 3, and 4 mm-hmm. more than mm-hmm. what normally, because having Chapman in the middle of the order, having Ramos in the middle of the order, it makes it easier for a guy like Yastrzemski to play right field and only have 9 homers, because now he has 9 triples.
Well, I don't think anybody thought that Yaz was a 3, 4, or 5 hitter. There's no doubt. He's not that. He never was that. But Yaz is a 7-8 hitter, which I've been pretty consistent with. You could do a lot worse than Mike Yastrzemski. And when you factor in his defense, now he doesn't have to be a starter, but a late inning replacement.
Which is what they've done when he doesn't start.
But he has sneaky speed, sneaky athleticism. You know, he can get first to third. He's one of your guys who can't get first to third. He plays his ass off, man. That's why the vitriol early on, Mike Yastrzemski, he wasn't costing his games in the first place. Solaire's missing bat was costing those games.
No, I don't think what it was. But that's where I want
pitching and miscasts. Like, we were just blaming Yaz for everything. So I just wanted to say and give him some love here, where he's playing well. You see him batting .310 in the month of July. He's now down to .250 in the month of August. A little bit of a funk here, but he's been like, Yaz is Yaz. He's fine.
Here's it wasn't about Yaz.
It was about playing the youngsters. I hear it.
It was about the youngsters being stymied by guys like Conforto and Yaz and Slater. So it wasn't necessarily about the individual of Yaz. It was him representing the stymying of Cena and Encarnacion, even though we didn't even know he existed until recently. Matos, Ramos, etc. And then again, thankfully, you know, in a roundabout way, it sucks that Junghoo Lee got hurt, but I mean,
you know what?
Ramos is going to be a corner outfielder for the next couple years.
Give Yaz credit, man. He's fourth in the big leagues in triples. We talk about speed and going first, you know, home to third and using your park to your advantage or whatnot. The guy's fourth in the league in triples. Fourth in the league, and that's not scoff at, man. You look at Bobby Witt Jr., Corbin Carroll's right there, Jaren Duran, Mike Yastrzemski. All I was doing was trying to give some love to Mike Yastrzemski, saying he's been a total pro. He comes in every day. He plays his ass. Like, Austin Slater is just whatever. Like, I never got the fascination with Austin Slater. I roll with Mike Yastrzemski all day long, 7 days a week.
Well, here was the thing. Here was the fascination with Slater. He hit lefties well. Yaz didn't hit lefties
Which
well.
Which I didn't get the fascination was. It's like, all right, he bats lefty wells, whatever.
He's I agree. That's more of an organizational thing. But, like, he hits lefties well. Well, if you look at the splits this year, home and a road, earlier late in games, righties and lefties, Yaz's numbers are much more balanced this year than in years past. And so, like, the reality is that when Conforto's struggling, when Yaz was struggling for a month and a half early in the year, and Slater was struggling, and Junghoo Lee was struggling, you're like, wait a minute, can I see a youngster?
No doubt. But they weren't the only ones struggling, though.
No doubt.
What I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. The pitching hadn't come around yet. The bullpen was up and down. You know, the lineup was all over the place. Chapman wasn't hitting anything earlier. I remember Chapman was batting like low
200s. Solaire was stuck in the 180s.
Solaire was stuck in the 180s, 190s. We were like, man, he's batting 200. Whoa, let's pop some champagne. Let's go crazy, folks. Nick Ahmed at shortstop. You know, Tyler Estrada's had his struggle. So my thing was, I just thought a lot of hate was geared towards Yaz, and I get it. Yeah, they're blocking some of the youngsters. But you got one in Ramos who popped. Thank God. You got one in Ramos who popped. You know Yaz knows this. It's not easy playing defense in this ballpark, Oracle Park. He knows right field very, very well.
No doubt.
He plays as well as right field as anybody has ever played right field.
It wasn't about Yaz. It was about
Yaz being an avatar.
And I wrote these names down in my notes earlier in the week. Yaz being an avatar for Lamont Wade playing right, and Slater playing right, and Jock Peterson in the outfield, and Blake Sable in the outfield, and Mitch Haniger in the outfield, blocking Matos, Ramos, Luciano, and Encarnacion, Fitz before he found a home at shortstop, and even Brett Wisely, who was playing a little outfield at one time. So, like, it's Yaz being the avatar of journeyman, random dude, taking up time and stymieing one of the youngsters.
But, you know, I just wanted to show him some love. So, no.
I'm glad you did.
It wasn't geared towards you, Shaq. I don't tweet. Boy, Shaq, he's going to be really pissed off about that. I just tweet what I think. You know what I'm saying? It's not geared towards anybody.
Well, in the words of Pete King, at me, bro.
But sometimes, and I will at you if I got anything to say. But there are some times with some trolls when they come at me and they call me snarky things and they get a little snarky and they get a little disrespectful. I got no problem clapping back and taking victory laps. That's one thing I do, and it's a little petty. But, you know, when people say shut up about this or shut up about that, I make sure to go back and be like, huh, what were you saying?
Well,
what was that?
One thing that I will say that Farhan whiffed on, backup catcher, and he whiffed on it. The whole Joey Bart thing. Joey Bart has had a solid, he's not a starter. He's not going to blow you away. But in terms of like the bat, he's been a solid player as a backup for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And your backups at catcher, like Kirk Casale, obviously you have Tom Murphy. Jackson Reitz was playing yesterday.
Yep.
Jackson Reitz. Bailey is leaking oil right now. The poor guy looks.
He's gassed.
He looks shot.
He's gassed. He's
at least right now, physically.
It's dog days of August, baby. You got to play every day.
He didn't start, came into that game late into the game because it was a must win.
Now you get a big Robbie Ray start today against the Tigers. Tigers are basically done. And then tomorrow, obviously, you're going to have the celebration. Logan Webb. This sets up well for the Giants this weekend.
It really does.
Birdsong, Webb. Birdsong will be Sunday. Webb will be tomorrow. And, of course, Robbie Ray today. This sets up well for them. Again, Giants fans, we ain't forgot about them. And with the way the Niners are acting right now, who the hell knows how long we're going to be talking about the Giants? We're going to be talking about them in October. It's possible. It is, but like, I'm dead serious. We may be talking about this team going to the playoffs.
Maybe.
Just sell.
No.
And just fire it.
No.
We've come a long way since mid-July.
It's just such a.
I am rooting against the Giants. I mean, that's not fair.
Oh, so that's not fair?
No.
So that's where we draw the line.
No.
This is unbelievable. We had Jake Hutchinson. I got to get this off my chest. I was going to say my final thoughts.
What's that?
But Shasky's riffing about his fantasy football teams.
Uh-huh. My philosophy on fantasy football and how many teams that I joined.
And then I start talking about the same damn thing. Bonte, nobody cares about your fantasy teams. I wasn't naming players. I'm naming leagues.
In the words of my dad, late great Papa Shasky, it's not what I say. Do what I do.
I can't find the Tums.
Miss you, Pops.
Hey, I found the Tums yesterday, Pops. I had a burger. Boy, I ran into stuff real quick. Blue cheeseburger from Big Mouth Burgers. I ran into a fan. Was it Javi? Javi? Whatever. He came out. He had two.
Javi?
Javi or Javi?
It's definitely Javi. I've never met someone named Javi.
No, I don't know if it was Javi because he was a white guy. He was a white guy, and I don't know too many white guys named Javi.
Well, there's Spaniards named Javier. They're white.
But he didn't look Spaniard. He didn't look Spanish. Okay. He looked white.
Well, Spanish people are white, Bonta.
I mean, no, like, he didn't look Latino, dude. He looked like American-born white guy. American-born white guy.
3-1 in France right now.
He looked like an American-born white guy.
All right, okay?
Javi, Javi, I don't know. He had two smoothies, chocolate smoothies. He knows who I'm talking about.
Chocolate smoothies?
Yeah, it was like chocolate shakes or something like that. It looked really good. I should have got one. Instead, I got the lemonade. But Baby Chaz and I are walking in to get burgers.
The lemonade is really good. Back in my weed smoking days, pink lemonade from Hot Dog on a Stick used to hit so well. And a Jamba Juice.
Oh, dude. What about the Fruitopias? Remember those?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Annie Ann's.
Annie Ann's.
No, they were really good. So I was walking in the Big Mouth. He goes, Bonte, what's up, man? Love what you guys do, man. Love what you do, but I'm going to say we because, you know, I want to give us all credit. I'm terrible. I know.
I just, you know.
It's the morning roast. But no, he was like, yeah, so I saw him at Big Mouth Burgers. Kind of like, yo, I'm on a soda diet, dude. I can't be snitched on me. Going to the Big Mouth Burgers. That was my biggest fear. When I would cheat sometimes with the soda diet, I look around.
Well, Festy caught you. Uh-huh. You're in the middle of the soda diet campaign, and Festy's posted you guys eating DoorDash, and Bonte's double fisting with two aluminum foil.
That was on the job. He had to do that.
Dude, he's got soda
stories. I think my favorite one was training camp last year, where you, me, and Guru, I believe, we were eating at the restaurant at the Hilton. I ordered a burger. I think Guru got the steak. You also got the steak. Oh, yeah, and then the next morning, we were talking about what we had for dinner. You're like, oh, no, we also got ice cream after. And we're talking about.
Oh, you got ice cream after because I'm about
to
get ice
cream. No, you got ice cream too. And then you lied about the next day. Hey, and then that's where we got the weird laugh of me in the background because you said, no, I didn't have ice cream. And I laughed really hard because I saw you lying in real time.
Hey, I had that cowboy steak again this year, man. That thing is
awesome. It's a good steak.
Oh, it's a great steak.
So we were up in Sonoma, and there's this place that's like a creamery that's been there like 150 150 years or whatever. And actually, Healdsburg, excuse me, not Sonoma. And the little guy had ice cream for the first time. And like sometimes when you put food in there, in like, you know, in the spoon and you put it in his mouth, it's like he does this face of like, I don't like it. I'm not liking it. Ice cream, it took 1 second, it hit the lips, and he was like, I'm all in on this. I want more. Also, I saw sugar for the first time in his life. Like, it was like he did, it was like he doing a line. He's like, zoom. He immediately bounced up. And I was like, oh my God. Now I know what parents are talking about.
Did you hear that?
What?
What? Did you even listen to what you just said?
Yeah.
It was like he was doing a line. He got a rush.
LJ was like, you want to go to war?
Dude, so you got a cocaine baby, huh?
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Crack. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
But no, I used to literally Bay Hill Community Center sometimes I'm cheating on the soda. I park. I walk and I look around. No, I just look. Didn't. No, I swear to God.
No,
I would look
like
around.
You were meeting a drug dealer?
No, I swear to God, I saw one dude. Bro, I'll tell you what up, buddy. I said, hey, man, what's going on? And I tried to act like I was walking to Molly Stone's. I made sure that guy was out of sight, out of mind. Circled back, pirouette back to Round Table Pizza. Hurry up and eat my food.
This is not for me, I swear.
Oh, yeah, this is for Anna. I walk out with two boxes.
Damn,
like,
bro, you throwing her under the bus?
Oh, I was this is for Anna. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm a father, man. I got to pick up the food. They got me running errands. Oh, dude, I had them ready to roll.
After we spent an hour and a half bashing our significant others this morning.
Cocaine bears, cocaine kids, cocaine cowboys. What the hell is going on around here? My
now,
final
so
thought
cocaine's
is...
cocaine's happening.
Give it to
you
me.
Know my final
Give
thought is... Can we please...
When resolve? Does crack... Okay. Now, so the cocaine's happening. When does that crack come into play for you?
Can we please resolve these situations with the 49ers? I want to get psyched up for football. I'm excited. The girls are leaving the house tomorrow. I'm going to be watching the preseason game by myself. Can we just please, 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 please resolve this Brandon Ayuk situation for the love of God?
Not sure if you watched it last night, but I watched the film. There's a little something there. I don't know what, but there's a little something there. With New England Patriots third-string quarterback Joe Milton.
It's officially preseason. Jesus.
There's something there. I don't know what. Just mark the tape.
I'm happy with Joe Milton.
There's something there.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
And all I'm saying is I looked up in the fourth quarter I saw not one, but two or three plays. I was like, okay,
you know
there's
what?
Something there.
I wonder if Brandon Ayuk saw that.
Hey, man. Oh, my God.
He watched that game, and I was like, actually, let's get this deal back on the table. Let's go.
28 million.
You know what Brandon Ayuk saw? Damn, it's a downpour in August in Boston.
Seriously,
I'm good. I'm not going there. It's raining in the preseason in New England. Oh, the weather's gonna be bad. Oh man, dude, I'm telling you right now, if the Niners struggle, I can already see it on the show. Somebody's gonna fight on the show. One of us four, probably Shasky and I. It's not gonna be good. It's not going to be good if the Niners come out the block slow. With our roasters, with these callers, we're not prepared for this. Not after that Super Bowl loss. We don't have the mental fortitude to get through something like this. We don't. We're broken. By the way, Lovman, I see the tweet. Wow. The text you just sent. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, quite a guest list.
Wow.
That's actually be my final thought.
All right.
Guys, we got a guest list for the 2014 World Series reunion that's happening tomorrow. Listen to these names. We got Jeremy Affeldt, Larry Bear. Oh, captain, my captain.
You forgot Adrianza. You forgot Adrianza.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Ari Adrianza. Gregor Blanco. Gary Brown. Oh. Madison Bumgarner.
Madison Bumgarner back in the yard.
All right. Be great to see him again. Keith Champion. Sean Dunstan. Bobby Evans. Tim Flannery. Mark Garner. Juan Gutierrez. Chris Heston. Brandon Hicks. Got Huddy coming back. Tim Hudson. Travis Ishikawa. Had to move him off today, but he was a good sport about it. Greg Johnson for some reason. Got our guy George Contos going to be there. Javi Lopez. Gene Machi, Michael Morse. Be nice to see him again. Murph's going to be back. Murphy will be back there.
I saw him at the cleaners a couple weeks ago.
What's that?
Saw him at the cleaners a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice. And before we get out of here, I have a special birthday. A few more names. Joe Panic, our guy Jake Peavy. Hunter Pence. Yusmeiro Petit. We'll see how many innings he could pitch tomorrow. Juan Perez. We got our owner, Buster Posey. Rags will be there. Oh. Dave Rigetti in the building. Sergio Romo. Brian Sabian. Wow. Andrew Susak is going to be there.
Susak.
Shane Turner. Tierra Uematsu, Ryan Vogelsong, and of course, the professor, Ron Wotus. I ran really fast to that name.
No, Melky Cabrera?
If you say Andrew Susak, I instantly think Marty Lurie.
I swear to God, you took the words out of my mouth. I said Marty Lurie. I think somebody says Andrew Susak the way he's to say it. I'm Susak, Tyler Beatty. Who's the other one? That's another one. Ty Block. Ty Block's another one.
He had those two games against Kershaw. Hey, happy birthday to Emma Moylan out there. She's baby LJ's favorite person in the entire world. I love her dearly. She's the sweetest girl. She's 11 years old. Yep. You've met her a few times. Happy birthday, Emma. Everybody loves you. St. Cecilia's finest.
Also, shout out to everybody who made the alumni game last Saturday in Washington. I didn't make it because I wasn't going to play flag football. I was going down to L.A. But everybody who showed up to the Washington High School alumni game, Coach Keyes was there. Coach Miller was there. Sweeney. Coach Sweeney was our defense coordinator. He quit on us in week two. He left the team after week two. He just bounced, and then we ended up going 12-0. So screw you, Sweeney, for leaving us. But good that you show face there at Washington High School last week.
Pulled the Mike Singletary.
Yeah, the alumni team with Big Dog City, Eric Williams, Vernon Pope, they beat the kids on the football team, the youngsters. So, Mike Gatman, we got to get this team rolling, baby. We can't be losing to 40-year-old Jermichael Barlow and Eric Williams. What are we doing? What are we doing? All right, anyway, that was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. I know we're on the go. Make it the fastest internet to all of your devices. I swear to God, I wasn't going to say it, but it went through my head instantly. It's like, Andrew Susak, Marty Lurie, man. Wow, it's Andrew Susak. Andrew Susak, as Lubman stumbles through the Japanese player's name. Oh, that's it for us.
He's one of the bullpen coaches.
Just sell and just fire everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.